Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. You'd think that everybody knows how to bond with their bunny. I mean, bunnies are just so luscious and adorable and soft and funny. You think everybody would know how to bond with them, but we're humans, and we do things human ways, not rabbit ways. And Dr. Micah Colas is here. He's a veterinarian at a very high level, but he also is very compassionate to the emotional side of small animals and the humans who live with them. And he would like to give us some bunny bonding tips and tricks, because especially for your kids, bunnies are often gotten for children. And kids need direction in how they do something, whether it's paint by the numbers or have a good relationship, and a good relationship from the bunny's point of view, too, in how they get played with and how they get spent time with. So what would you say are some of the ways in which people misunderstand their bunnies, Dr. Colas?
Well, I think the first thing I always like to start off with this conversation, because it is so important. How many people would love to spend their entire life living in a one-bedroom apartment by themselves and never interacting with anybody else?
Ooh-hoo.
And yeah, I mean, there's a few people, but not very many. And what I remind people of is that these are social animals. And so I'm not going to go so far as to say having one body, one rabbit is inhumane, but I am going to go so far as to say, would you want to live in an apartment all by yourself and never go anywhere and never interact? So as amazing as the human animal bond is, because it is, trust me, it doesn't hold a candle to the unique relationships and the beneficial relationships that these animals have with each other.
That's
so
right.
I am a massively strong proponent of recognizing the importance of that and talking about that with pet parents through all of our exotic companion mammals, but specifically, you know, certainly with rabbits. And so, you know, if they have one rabbit, they're looking at getting another rabbit. There are some unique traits and processes we need to think about, because it's not like with humans. Like, you can't just grab two random human beings and throw them in a one-bedroom apartment and say, hey, get along, have fun,
right,
live the
right,
rest of your lives together, right? That's not going to go well. So there's some things we always want to talk about to kind of prepare, right? You have one bunny, you're looking at getting another bunny. How do you, you know, you've already validated the importance of bonding. You know, what do you do to prepare for that? So a couple of things to start with before we kind of get into the how. It's the how do we prepare. Number one, both rabbits should be spayed and neutered, right? There's no reason for them to have those extra capabilities, and rabbits are really, really, really good about making more rabbits. I love that, sorry to get on a tangent here, but the random joke of there's two rabbits under a pile of wood in the middle of a forest and they're being circled by coyotes, and the one rabbit looks at the other rabbit and says, do you want to make a run for it or do you want to stay here and outnumber them? like that's how good rabbits are. So
I have to do a sidebar. When I had rabbits growing up, they had a very nice rabbit hutch, and we also brought them in the house, and we had a little pen outside they could run. And so there was a mother, and she'd had babies in the sleeping area. Okay. So now, take all the – you shouldn't have adult males and females together. Okay. So I would clean out their little sleeping straw maybe every other day. And I swear to God, it was 2 days later – with one of her, not even adolescent sons. I mean, I don't think he had his eyes open yet. I went in there to take out a handful of straw, and I had a handful of babies. I mean, it was just unbelievable. In the days it would take, you would have handfuls of babies. It was
they're not shy, and they don't have any issue with looking at mom and dad and brother and sister in that we as humans
would. All good.
Yeah. So number one, make sure they're spayed and neutered. Number two, these are individual animals with individual personalities. So you want to give your rabbit an opportunity to participate in that. So hopefully you're going to a rabbit rescue or an HRS facility where your rabbit can meet a variety of rabbits, two or three other rabbits, you know, kind of like speed dating 101.
Yes.
Like, is there an initial connection? And, you know, I do want to point out that in general, male and female bonding tends to be a little bit easier. Female to female and male to male certainly is something that can happen and definitely does work. But in general, male to female tends to be the easiest in my experience.
When you adopt from a shelter, is it like some shelters do with certain cats, less so dogs, where they want you to take a bonded pair? Do you think we often find bonded pairs of bunnies in shelters and in rescues?
You know, there is more than you would think, and especially if you're going to a reputable rescue. And again, I'll give a shout out to the House Rabbit Society, who has a variety of different chapters across the U.S., because they understand the importance of that. And they work really hard, honestly, to begin, hopefully, the initiation process of bonding rabbits. And so you very likely can go find a bonded pair already when you adopt them. Now, does that mean you can't ever adopt a singular rabbit? No, absolutely not. But if you do that, the goal is then obviously always to say, hey, how do we bring another munchkin into the environment? What does that process and what does that timing look like? Because at the end of the day, over the lifetime of that animal, that is going to provide them the healthiest and happiest environment if we do that.
So if you could have one, you could definitely have two. It's not that you need a three-bedroom apartment for two bunnies.
Right.
They snuggle 100%. Together. They wrestle together. They could eat and drink alongside each other. So it doesn't require more of people other than, I guess you could say, a little empathy. I mean, certainly donkeys, not so much horses, but I've also had my share of donkeys. And when I got my mini donkeys that were a mother and daughter, Mona and Lisa, there was no way. These people actually were breeding and selling and or rehoming mini donkeys, and then they were getting older, so they were making their herd smaller. But there's really great donkey rescues. There's really great rabbit rescues. There's one called Save Your Ass Long-Haired Rescue in New Hampshire, which you got to just say the name. It's so divine. And they will not place a donkey unless there's already a donkey there being sad and lonely. Or if you want a donkey for the first time, shouldn't it be the same way with bunnies? Why would we let somebody take one bunny knowing the heartbreak there is in that for that rabbit?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors at play there. And again, I want to be careful here. I am not insinuating at all that you can't have one rabbit and work your butt off as a pet owner and provide them a high quality of life. You certainly can, but it's still just never going to be to the same quality that you can provide them, you know, if they have a bonded cage mate. So that's why I'm just always so fervently strong in my recommendation of that. Now, again, you know, finding the right rescue, doing your research, talking to them about the situation, they really can be phenomenal partners about this process.
And
so, you know, if you get to the point where you have one rabbit, you started out with one for whatever reason, or maybe you had two and you lost one, right?
That's right.
We need to give that munchkin a chance to grieve, a chance to clear, and then we want to look at finding them another bonded cage mate. And so when you kind of go through that speed dating, you've narrowed it down to a rabbit, you know, then there's that whole, what does it look like when we get home? And you want to do all of this work ahead of time and prepare so that you kind of, what I say, control the variables, right? There's so many variables you can't control. Let's control the controllables. And so when I bring a bunnies home, a new bunny pair, or I'm adding a one, I set up by kind of setting up two X pens about, you know, half a foot or so from each other. So that way they can see, they can smell, they can hear, but they actually can't get a hold of each other. And then I feed them directly adjacent to each other. So in order for them to get their favorite munchkies, they have to go to the side of the cage where they're the closest together, right? So we're kind of bonding them and howdying them without them having access to each other. And then after a couple of weeks of simple that, then I'm going to start kind of really getting them to kind of be with each other. And I heard a long time ago from a rescue person to not only one, start by putting them in an area that is foreign to both of them. So we kind of call it neutral territory.
Yeah.
Right. It's not yours. It's not mine. I'm a little stressed because I've never been here. I'm a little kind of distracted, let's say, because this is a weird environment. And also, furthermore, tend to use something like think of a bathtub. Well, there's two reasons for that. One, they can't get behind a corner or somewhere and hide. And two, the surface is actually a little slippery, so it makes it less likely they're going to go in there and just try to knock the snot out of each other, right? They're a little bit uncomfortable. It's a new environment. They've both never been there. It's a little bit slippery, so they're less likely to get good footing if they're trying to kick each other's butt. And so then start with a very slow amount and be prepared that they're going to do a little nipping. They're going to do a little complaining. I mean, nipping is kind of a normal part of the process, but have something available like a broom or a spray bottle or something that you can separate them immediately if it gets too physical.
Well, that sounds, and then sounds kind of scary to people, like, you know, putting, I don't know, two dogs together, knowing that there's a good chance they're going to fight. So how do people get comfortable understanding that's how rabbits first declare themselves to each other and then could wind up being happy housemates forever?
Yeah. I mean, again, they're all different. They're all
right.
Unique. But first of all, no nipping is a natural behavior, right?
Okay.
No matter what we do, there's always going to be one rabbit that is more dominant than the other rabbit. That's the natural hierarchy.
Okay.
And so that physical interaction, a little bit of nipping, a little bit of kicking, is them kind of trying to establish, hey, I am more dominant. Are you going to choose to be submissive to me or are you not? And then we have to work through that process itself. Also, remember that we want to start slow, 5, 10, 15 minutes at first, always supervised. You know, we're talking about weeks and weeks and weeks of interaction before we would ever consider them being unsupervised and together in the same environment, right? So this is a long, long period of time of really letting them socialize together. Also, remember, you know, bunnies have bad days too. I mean, I love my wife dearly, but, you know, not every morning do I wake up thinking she's, you know, the queen of the entire planet. And I know there's a lot of mornings where she wakes up, she's like, man, that guy breathes loud all night. He has bad breath. I'm just not feeling it, right? So they have up and down days too. So don't expect perfection. This isn't this perfect upward trajectory. We're going to take three steps forward and then we may take a step back. But if you're patient, if you're consistent and methodical with the process, you know, there's probably been only one or two bunnies in my entire life that I've ever not been able to get bonded. Because again, those are the human beings that want to live in the apartment by themselves their entire life.
They
there
never
are those
wanted
people,
a companion.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They think everybody else sucks, and that's okay. but most rabbits, you can get there. You really, really can.
So even though we're saying that the happiest life for a bunny is with a buddy, we're also saying there are some who were solitary. And they would be
not
much
many,
happier
but
that
some.
Way. There's some. So
right.
You've got to give it a try. And if you're working with a rescue and you give it your best shot and weeks have gone by and your solitary guy, whether it's the one who was home first or home second, is still having none of it, the rescue, that's why it's great to adopt from a rescue. It, even though you feel like you're the failure or the bunny's the failure, it's really okay to say, I need to swap this guy out, and I'm really sorry for the disruption in his life, but I've done my damnedest, and they are still going to be having their dukes up I mean, isn't that right? At some point you have to say, okay, so I, you know, made a bad choice and we're going to find somebody better for you.
Yep.
For both
100% agree with that.
Okay. Excellent. Yep. Well, as you can see, when you're hearing this, if you don't have a rabbit yet, I would say get a bonded pair. Then all the hard work's been done. And certainly if you have only one, we are really saying if you really love the bunny, the kindest thing to do is to get him a companion. But I would say go with the opposite sex because you don't need two guys duking it out. Because who knows? That male thing may go on for a long time. And women, I mean, they say that the worst dog fights are with bitches, much worse than two males. So, you know, it's not to say that guys are more aggressive or bigger fighters. Just go with, you know, I don't know, mixed sex. It seems like a better idea. In any case, know that your bunnies need each other. And I just love the idea that bunnies have bad days, too. It's not always a fairy tale out of a Disney movie. Okay.
Part of real life. Amen to that.
Yes. Part of real life sometimes comes in. Thanks for listening, guys. Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From Zubed Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.